As if the Phoenix Suns did not have enough drama already this summer, August 1st hits and their power forward suddenly seems to be demanding, asking for, politely requesting a trade out of town. We'll talk about Jay Crowder's Twitter activity, a local gas station's Twitter activity, and more on today's episode of Locked On Suns.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past five seasons and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday throughout the month of August, we will be back daily in no time. Hit subscribe or follow if you're finding us on your favorite podcast platform. Make sure we're in your feed every day. And if you're finding us on YouTube, that's the best way to support the show. A big shout out to all of you. Hit subscribe down below and drop me a comment telling me whether you think this Jay Crowder thing was truly a trade request or just something else, just Jay bored online. I don't know what to make of it. We're going to talk about it right now. Joining us to do that is Aaron Edwards for his weekly check-in. Aaron, I just want to get down to it with Jay because this was very strange. He's been, all these Suns players have been very active on Twitter this summer, and I think they're getting a little antsy with all the rumors like we are, but he said, quote, he wrote, quote, change is inevitable, growth is optional. I believe it's time for a change. I want to continue growing. What do you make of this tweet from the starting power forward for the Phoenix Suns?
I don't know. I think like every offseason athletes just start like tweeting like Shinzu. Like I think that most of the time it's probably boredom, but it might be something to it. But just in general, just athletes, when they start getting bored, they start tweeting like they read the Art of War for the first time. So I really don't know. Like, I'm not really sure.
A lot of people have pointed to the formatting of the tweet, I guess you could say, with the period, exclamation, exclamation. That's his like kind of chosen. I feel like every athlete has their thing. Was it Cam Newton tweets like that kind of with all the caps?
Cam Newton has the weird font that he uses.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And yes. What's his name from the Spurs? The Hawks now, he capitalizes every letter.
So here's the tweet on YouTube for anybody who missed it. It's still right there on his Twitter feed. And if you go into his likes, this is the part where we can start to sleuth our way around a little bit. So I'm looking right now, somebody quote tweeted with a picture from his rookie season in a Mavs jersey. He liked that. He liked Kellen Olsen's article about what the Suns still need to do this offseason. Interesting. I don't know what's going on there. And there was a lot of Heat and Dallas-related stuff in his likes there for a while right after he had tweeted this. It looks like somebody reminded him that we all can see that, and he went back and unliked some of those things. Oh, but man, there is still this picture of him in the Mavs jersey. And like on top of this, Aaron, he also had been kind of going at people. I don't know if any, like, he wasn't replying to anybody specific, but I think he had had some tweets earlier in the offseason talking about the constant rumors of upgrading the power forward position, right? Do you remember that, where he was like, everybody's always saying we need to upgrade that spot, like basically shut up. Is he right to be kind of frustrated that all of this is going on?
I feel like it's happened pretty much everywhere that he's been. Like, that's why he's been on so many teams. I think it was maybe just an annoyance that things are going so well here and now it's just kind of switched up. But if anybody knows how fast this stuff can end, I think it's Jay Crowder.
Yeah, it's like him and PJ Tucker, to me, are both these guys where it's like every time a team gets them, they're thrilled, and then they get rid of them right afterward.
Yeah.
It's like, it's this weird thing. Like, I mean, and Crowder had it with the beginning of his career because he signed that 5-year $20 million contract or whatever it was with Boston right as the new CBA kicked in and whatever. And he was immediately like the most underpaid dude in the league. Five-year contracts. I don't even know if that type of contract is even legal anymore. I don't remember if it was an extension, but you can't even sign five-year contracts anymore if you're a free agent. So it was all set up for him that way. But I just think the thing I come back to on this, and we can read into this specific tweet however much we want to. I don't think it was any sort of like legitimate trade demand or anything like that. But it's just another example coming right off of the interview that Cam Johnson gave last week that I talked about on the show, where the human element of this stuff's going to just start to creep back in. Like, guys are going to start coming back from vacation. They're going to be around each other in the facility. They all see this. Like, just read what Cam Johnson said to Dwayne Rankin. And that's all you need to know, that these guys see everything, whether they want to tell you they do or not. And like months at this point, close, you know, by the time camp would start, it'd be months of hearing all this. That's not like just easy to shrug off. You know what I mean? And I don't blame Jay for being frustrated about it.
Yeah, I think just going in with the way the season even ended and now, like, it's been an especially long offseason for the Suns, like more than usual. So I think just having the type of off season that it was and the way the season ended is just gonna either fix itself or it's gonna come out and be pretty rough for these dudes that end up sticking around. But I think we talked about it earlier when we did who stays, who goes. I think we both said Crowder was gone. So yeah. I just, for the most part, I just don't think he was gonna be here anyway, even before he started tweeting like this.
And even before KD was a possibility, right? Yeah. Like, I think we did that, and, like, the KD stuff was sort of just, like, imaginary at that point.
Like, we weren't really taking it serious yet. Like, we were kind of like, oh, this is weird. We have to talk about it. But we were still pretty sure Jay Crowder wouldn't be here.
Exactly. I mean, you even just look at the fact that Cam Johnson's probably getting extended. Like, people know the reasons. And then on top of that, I just think if they don't get KD, or even if they do and Crowder's not part of it, he's still kind of their best trade piece on top of all of that. You know what I mean? Like, if they do end up going into the season without Durant and they still have the dream a little bit, but he's not part of the roster and they want to do something before the season starts, I still think Crowder's the guy, right? Because his salary's big enough and he's still a valuable player. I don't know if he's like somebody that teams are going to want to give up a lot to get, but if you're giving him to a team for another player who's similar, like I've thrown around Duncan Robinson and people get kind of mad, but like that type of thing, roughly equal players, maybe the Heat give a little more in that, whatever it is, like those types of trades are almost always going to have to include Crowder. So I think it's understandable that he is frustrated by this. But at the same time, I do, like you were saying about, you know, at some point this is just going to need to get cleared up. If it does get to the point where the Suns decide to stop pursuing Durant, or it goes like the season, it's just about to start and they don't have him yet. And like, I just kind of trust Monty to get guys to focus. Maybe that's crazy, but I do kind of just feel like Monty's the type of coach where he's just going to be able to level with everybody and say, yeah, you know, we tried to get Kevin. This is going to linger over us, or it won't linger over us. Whatever the truth ends up being, I kind of trust him to have the relationship to just make that better. But until then, I think you're going to continue to hear stuff like this from the players.
Yeah, I think Crowder, he's been in the business long enough to kind of understand it. I think the only issue that we probably have to focus on to getting the team back on track was Ayton. Like, it was very obvious what we were trying to do with Ayton, and it didn't happen. So Monty just really had to fix that one, and everything else would come together if one of your top three players is unhappy and he knows that you tried to get rid of him and he knows that you tried really hard to get rid of him. Then I think that is probably one of like the bigger issues that you have to fix. I think Crowder is enough of a pro to where if he does stay here, he's done this so many times.
Yeah.
I think if he has to stay here, I think he'd still be fine with it.
What, he had that time before he went to the Heat that season before the shutdown. He got traded right before the shutdown to the Heat from the Grizzlies. He was awful in Memphis and couldn't make a shot. They clearly weren't going to keep him. And he, you know, kept his head down and ended up on a good situation where he made the finals in the bubble. So you're totally right. I think sigh of relief that it seems like things are all right with Ayton, and he had that reality check about the business of the NBA himself and seems to be all right with everything for the time being. But yeah, I just, whether it's Cam, McHale, Crowder, all these guys you've heard different comments from throughout the summer, like, that's not going to cool down until they're sure of what their destiny is going to be. And maybe, like Crowder or Cam, they're open to getting traded, but just that uncertainty, I'm sure, sucks to deal with. But on the topic of Mikal Bridges, this Kevin Durant situation and Twitter, we want to get into a tweet from Quick Trip. I don't know who runs this account, but they decided to give their two cents on a pretty puzzling, not super well thought out trade offer, and Mikal responded. So we'll get into this saga next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by Bet Online. They have you covered all year long. I'm diving back into baseball. I've been annoying about it on Twitter, joking around. I'm a Padres fan now, and I'm fully committed to the baseball season. I'm watching their game was on ESPN Plus tonight. I am completely sold. I'm looking at the odds right now. They have baseball World Series odds. They have baseball, let's see, futures and World Series. I'm looking at the Padres. They are still just plus 800. I may just have to log in myself and put a little bit there. I don't understand. They have talent. The Mets are higher than them, which feels impossible. So if you find yourself choosing a new MLB team, do not worry. BetOnline has you covered to put in exorbitant amounts of money on them and enjoy your rooting throughout the rest of the summer. But of course, NFL, NBA stuff, esports, combat sports, golf, all of it. Head to BetOnline today or use their mobile app to learn more about the action happening today. BetOnline, where the game starts. Okay, Aaron, so Quick Trip, at Quick Trip, August 2nd, blue check mark, why this trade works. Suns get KD, Brooklyn also gets the protection removed. They have all of it down here. Brooklyn gets the protection removed. The other team is the 76ers, so this is related to the Harden trade. And most importantly, it seems like to them, Mikal Bridges finally gets to reunite with Wawa, but what I'm confused about here, and I'll let you take this in whatever direction you want to, Aaron. I'll put the trade on the screen for the viewers as well. It seems like they're trying to get Mikal Bridges out of town. They're bringing up a competitor. They're tweeting from a corporate account about a competitor somehow and trying to put Mikal Bridges in a situation where he's no longer around to enjoy a Quick Trip. That's the part I don't get, and I have a little bit of a problem with it as a Mikal Bridges lover, that was kind of the impetus, it seems here. It seems like Quick Trip has some sort of beef with Mikal.
I think, well, you know people from Philly. They ride for Wawa hard, and I wouldn't be shocked if Mikal Bridges has openly just rode for Wawa still, even though he isn't a QT city now. I just think maybe he rides for Philly very publicly, even. I think that
does.
Maybe QT has just taken some offense that he's still in a QT town and he still rides for Wawa so hard. I've heard it's really good, so I would probably ride for it too. But
I have too. I thought it was here. Because have you seen Waba? That is also a thing, and that's here. There's one up by ASU, which is where my office is. And I was like, wow, we got one. And then I didn't even go in. I eventually figured it out, but that's not the same. Yes, people go crazy for this stuff. But Mikal did respond. He said, y'all so hell and weak. And I want to put the trade up here too, because I have to agree with Mikal. The trade is like not even well thought out. Like, this is not getting it done. Whoever runs Quick Trip, it feels like the same person who runs Quick Trip is the people on the Sun subreddit. putting up the most insane trades that you've ever seen, because it's Kevin Durant to the Suns, Tobias Harris and Jay Crowder to the Nets, and then whatever the pick flipping that they're talking about back to the Nets getting their own picks back that they traded for Harden, and then to the Sixers, Bridges and Shamet. So the Nets are only getting Harris, Crowder and some picks. The Sixers are getting, for some reason, just for getting rid of the Nets picks that they have, they're getting Bridges and Shamet. I think the bottom line is the person running this Quick Trip account is a 76ers fan. That's what's happening here.
And is this in a world where the Gobert trade never happened? Because yeah, right? If so, then if that never happened, then this still wouldn't work. Like, it's just a ridiculous trade. And it's either a Suns fan or a Sixers fan that did that.
I respect it. Well, I'm not sure how I feel about these corporate accounts just doing the weirdest possible things on the internet lately, but I wanted to bring up my conspiracy theory about all of this. So I think we have the idea that, yeah, this is probably some like 23-year-old who just really likes the NBA, and his boss said, whatever, it's August, I don't care what you do, nobody's in town looking at Twitter anyway, do whatever tweets you want. So I looked this up because this is piggybacking off of our conversation last week in a mailbag where somebody asked us who we thought would own the Suns if Sarver ever were to get taken down.
Okay.
Do you know the name of the founder of Quick Trip? Because it is based here. Their headquarters is here in Phoenix. Do you know the name of the founder?
I do not.
Okay. So he was actually born and raised in Tulsa, so I feel like he may live there. That's the one. Also, this website says that Quick Trip is headquartered in Tulsa. I see a listing of a headquarters here, so I'm not sure of the exact truth. I'm not sure where this man lives. His name is Chet Cadeau III, which is one of those scary old dude names.
That's a rich person name.
Yeah, that's a rich person name. That's a nicer way to say it than what I was getting at, so I appreciate you saving me on that one. And he's worth $1.9 billion. So maybe this is just laying the seeds for when the owner of Quick Trip gets involved more directly with the Suns, and he's going to buy the team. I think that's what's happening here. And he dispatched the social media intern and said, hey, do something Suns related, but then he didn't realize the kid was a Philly native. And then we got this bizarre screenshot of the trade machine and piss Mikhail off, all because Chet wants to own the Suns. That's what I think is happening here.
I just know just off your screen, there's a whiteboard with like yarn like right next yes. to you somewhere, just connecting dots.
It's a Quick Trip logo with something laid over the top of it that I've been drawing, taking notes. I have some mapping distance from Tulsa. What would the flight be like if he had to make the trip every so often? That's exactly what's going on here. But as we kind of were establishing with that name and the way that we might... Okay, first of all, I want to clarify, the family together is worth $1.9 billion. I want to make that clarification. But because of the name and some the Tulsa of it all, I don't know if we'd be out of the woods with the Sarver type behavior with this guy. I don't want to cast aspersions, but I'm a little nervous about it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I think just the third in general means he might be even more Sarver-y than our Sarver. So, no, I think he wants to stay out of the limelight and don't want to really be sitting at floor seats at an NBA game.
No, I'm nervous. Yeah, I'm looking at his screenshot. Quick Trip's an incredible company. I love their everything. There was one down the road from my high school that opened up like right as I was getting my license and could drive to it. And the taquitos are amazing that are on the hot dog spinners. They have the taste of the flavor injectors on the sodas. I have no notes or complaints on that. They are a great company.
Slice of pizza either. If you're just in a hurry and you haven't eaten all day, just get a slice of pizza.
Is that at the cafe, like at the back?
No, it's like right. It's right next to the cash register. It's usually right behind you. It's like a slice of pizza in there. It's not bad.
Wow. Yeah, their food's good. And so if there was some sort of integration, I guess, where there were Quick Trips opened up as concession stands in the stadium arena, I might be able to get behind it a little bit. If they decided to cater the media dining, wouldn't be too bothered by that. I'd probably gain a little bit of weight next season. But I'm just putting the thought out there. If it comes out and people are surprised, I just want to be able to say that I said it first. And that it all started with this tweet. But let's move on to actual basketball news here. We got two signings by the Suns. They are just two-way players, so I did want to save it till the end because we haven't seen one of them, and we'll see what the role is of the other. But we'll break those two guys down after one more quick break. Okay, so after a long time with no moves, we had the Ayton signing, Aaron. We had, some minimum players, Josh Okogie, Damian Lee, etc. And now we're getting two-way players signed, which I don't really... I'm kind of tired of the what does everything mean for the KD chase stuff. I do think it's somewhat interesting that they have decided to fill some of these roster spots out. But the two players that they added, one, Ish Wainwright, who we already all know, the star of the Summer League. He was brought up to a full roster spot for last year's playoffs. They cut Frank Kaminsky to do that. So we all know Ish Wainwright. And then Dwayne Washington, this one was kind of funny. He is an Ohio State guard. He was with the Pacers last year, and he's one of the players that they cut in order to get the cap space to sign DeAndre Ayton to that offer sheet. They never went back around and re-signed him, which they're totally within their rights to do. A lot of people thought they would do that because they had just guaranteed his contract a little bit before they cut him. And instead, the Suns swoop in and they actually get him. So not only do they keep Ayton, but they take one of the players that Indiana got rid of to try to get Ayton themselves in the process. What were your thoughts on these two signings overall, Aaron?
I wanted Ish to get a guaranteed contract like everybody else, obviously. And yeah, the other one, he averaged 9 points a game. He played like some really decent minutes. And I watched some of his highlights and he looked like a dude that could get a bucket on his own. And he seemed pretty confident. And I'm not sure if he's ever going to get any like real playing time, but it looks like he did all the stuff that Aaron Holiday could do, and Aaron Holiday, we saw what happened with that. So we'll just have to really see if Monty even puts him on the floor. But he does seem like a confident dude that, given the chance, like he'll go out and get a bucket for you.
Yeah, we'll talk about Ish in depth here, but just to wrap on Dwayne, because he's a player we haven't watched a ton. He's the nephew of Derek Fisher, I found out, and his dad also was in the NBA. So he has that kind of, like, you know, background, having grown up in a basketball family. That tends to help guys. He went to Ohio State, so the pedigree is there. And yeah, he, to me, the shooting and the comfort taking threes off the bounce, he took 215 threes last year, made 38% of them. So that's a pretty good sample to pull from, and he'll take them in any kind of way. Like, off the pick and roll, he'll pull up from deep. He'll obviously catch and shoot. So he's more of a scoring guard than like a traditional point guard right now, but he's 6'3", and I just think, yeah, he's the type of player like a Aaron Holiday that you want to bring in just because he's like, you know, if you can hit on some sort of guard depth, it just helps you figure out post Chris Paul whatever this whole rotation is going to look like. So I really liked it. I also like that he's only 22 because the Suns love to bring in guys who are about to be 30 as rookies. So 22, only having 1 year of experience in the NBA, they can kind of keep growing his game. I thought that was all good stuff. But yeah, with Ish, why don't you think he got that full roster spot? Because that's the place where people are inevitably going to think about KD. But it might also just be nice to have that flexibility going into the season because they're going to continue to be a buyout candidate and all that stuff. It might just be nice to have that extra roster spot if they need it for a trade or for whatever during the season.
Yeah, I think they kind of just want to keep him in general, but they also needed that roster spot open. And so I don't really think it's anything against him. Because I don't know what else he would need to do to get on the floor, honestly. Dude has done literally everything that we've asked him to do, and he's just exceeded my expectations even. He's a way better shooter than I thought he was. And yeah, I just don't know what else he would even have to do. So that would probably just be the reason. Like, I'm not sure that NBA is one of those, like, give it to a guy because you felt bad kind of thing. I just think he's worked hard and he's kind of earned it. So it has to be another reason why he hasn't gotten it.
The thing that I was kind of surprised by, because you're right, like, I do think they wanted to keep him, obviously. It's kind of weird that this hung out for so long. Like, they always could have just brought him back on a two-way. I feel like it makes me think that, you know, once maybe his agent heard from the Suns that they weren't going to offer him a full roster spot, that he probably was looking around the NBA. Does it surprise you he didn't find something elsewhere? Because, like, there's a lot of teams that I feel like could use a player like him and just take a chance. Plus, like, I'm not super convinced that he's not just going to be better than, like, Josh Okogie full out this year. So it's all kind of weird in terms of the timing of why he wouldn't have gotten a job with the Suns or elsewhere on a full contract and had to wait and then take this kind of contract again.
Yeah, I just think it would just be a bad look for the Suns to have a dude that once he started getting real reps and getting real confident, like, in his game. So just let him go for free. Like, it just, in my head, I just really think that it would have to be like real reason why they wouldn't keep a dude around, especially when he's been growing his game here and getting just better and better each time he's on the floor.
Yeah, if I was an NBA team, I would have just given him a minimum and that full roster spot and gotten him from the Suns, because if that's all it took was beating a two-way, just give him a minimum. Or, I don't know, like, would he have taken an unguaranteed minimum that guarantees, like, sometime early in the season, and all he has to do is prove himself for that long, and then he can always end up on a two-way later in the season, maybe even back with Phoenix? That's what Frank Kaminsky did. He ended up back here because he took a non-guarantee for a contract the Suns weren't willing to offer. I don't know. I guess maybe the bottom line is he truly just wanted to continue to be here. We saw that last summer with, like, campaign and different guys where they were, I guess, Dario Saric before that, like, a little bit under what you would expect because they seem to want to play with this group. I don't know. Maybe that's overly optimistic, but I just think Ish is going to, like, if he gets chances, I think he could outplay a few guys on this roster. Like, I think he's a genuinely good player and he's right in his prime.
Yeah, I can't see why. It's really shocking that he didn't find a team to go to, because he seems like such a just Milwaukee Buck to me in my head. Like, I just think that putting him in a corner and getting open shots with Giannis on the floor, like Porter does and like PJ Tucker got to do, I just think he would fit them too. I just don't understand why he couldn't find a team to at least get like 8 to 9 minutes a game. I just don't know what teams are looking for, especially a dude that works as hard as him and is just an above average shooter. Like, I can't stress that enough. He's been shooting the hell out of basketball right now.
Yeah, this was kind of getting talked about when he got signed. People were like reposting his shooting numbers and whatnot. It's basically his junior season at Baylor. He shot all right. He didn't really ever have a lot of attempts there. His senior year was like sub 30%, but basically ever since then, whether you look at his international stuff, summer league, the Suns last season, whatever, he's at least like a 33% shooter. That's not incredible, but if you, like you're saying, if you just put him in the corner and all of them are open, which, yeah, Giannis could do, Chris Paul obviously can do, there's a lot of teams that just have that type of easy open shots available for you on offense, I think he'll make a lot of those, you know what I mean? So I'm confused. I don't quite get it. But just while we're on the topic, maybe we can close out here of the open roster spot now. How would you feel about the idea of getting a player back on top of KD? Because, like, I think that that's some of what the Nets seem to be up to. There was talk about that with the Lakers. If, you know, it seems like the Joe Harris injury is super suspicious and he might be headed toward more missed time. He missed all of last year because they screwed up his surgery and that got pretty ugly. Seth Curry. I think that there's this idea of, like, if we're getting rid of everybody and burning it all down, we definitely don't need to be paying the tax. We don't need to be spending money on this roster. So the idea of getting like a Seth Curry or, you know, whoever from a third or fourth team that it might be, would you be willing to give up a little bit more as the Suns and get somebody like that? Or do you think handle that separately, roll with what you have and just focus on KD in the short term?
I feel like they've been just tough in general for just getting rid of KD. So I think getting an extra player back, I think Marks is just too proud to burn it all down. I don't think they're going to do that. I think that the Kyrie situation is going to get uglier. And I think just in general, like, that team is just going to be a mess because that's the one they can't get out just as easily. So you can't really burn it down with Kyrie getting shots up like that. So, yeah, I don't know if he can burn it down. I don't know if he's willing to give up an extra player for KD. It just seems like he's stuck in just a really terrible situation. As the Suns, I would want them to get an extra player back, though.
Yeah, that's where I come down on it, is it's like, you know, if I'm not going to hold up the trade to get somebody, and I'm certainly not going to, like, take Joe Harris back who can't play just to do them a favor. But I guess my main point was just, you know, be nimble. Because, like, you know, Utah's involved now. We know the Knicks have guys. There's so many teams that are sort of, like, loosely related to all this stuff at this point. If there's, like, a spare dude flying around that you can grab, if you can get a, I mean, Malik Beasley from Utah, if you can get a Evan Fournier. I mean, I don't, these guys aren't like thrilling players, but they're better than what the Suns have. If you could get one of them, I think that that might be part of what eventually starts to get talked about, and something that I just don't think Suns fans have really thought too much about is like, maybe it's not just KD who comes back. You know, maybe that's part of keeping this roster spot open, but of course, buyouts, trades in season. There's a whole bunch of reasons to go out and get that extra roster spot. But that'll close us out today, guys. We will be back Monday. I know people were anxiously awaiting August 4th because of the LeBron deadline. We did not get any news today. Maybe the weekend brings a little bit more. Who knows? I don't know what to wait for at this point, but I can tell you for sure I'll be here Monday. We'll talk about something. Hit subscribe, hit follow, whatever platform you're on. Thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Friday to close out your week. Now, go check out Locked On NBA to catch up on everything else going on around the league.